Welcome to Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple. If you would stand together, please, we're going to open with a verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all that you've allowed us to do. Thank you for being able to be here together. I ask you to be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Going to Independent Baptist Church. Grew up in American Baptist Church, and we had a bulletin, and it listed everything, and everything had to happen like it was in the bulletin, or you were in big trouble with somebody. I don't know who it was, but that's just the way they operate. And one of the things I liked about the Independent Baptists is that they do things different. You know, they didn't have a schedule to follow or anything like that. And so I was out visiting with the Hodges this week, and they would like to join our church. And so would you guys mind coming and stand here just a minute? These are some dear, dear folks you need to get to know. And they've been coming, visiting for a while with us. And I went over and talked with them. The church that they were a member of has closed. And so I'd like to present them on a statement of faith. Take them by the statement. They told me where they were saved and baptized, and I'm in full agreement with it. I feel like we as a church would be also. And so all in favor of accepting the Hodges into our church by statement of faith, a good hearty amen.
Amen.
Anyone opposed? All right. At the end of the service, you get around and shake their hand, let them know that you're glad to have them. Brother Foster, if you would. God bless you all. Thank you.
Now let's stand and take our hymn books. Hymn number 364, Standing on the Promises. Hymn number 364, Standing as we sing.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King.
Standing.
Take your hymn books once again. Let's turn over to hymn number 162, To God Be the Glory. Let's stand as we sing hymn number 162.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. Yes.
Right. Hymn number 139, as we continue singing, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Hymn number 139.
Oh,
Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up. Surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the Lord's house with you today. You would take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 34. Psalms 34. Mrs. Marino, would you mind coming up here for just a minute? Miss Crystal is going to get another year older. We're not going to ask her how old she's going to be. No one will believe you, then tell us. 29. Yeah, right. No, you're right. No one believes you. But anyhow, she's going to have a birthday. When is that?
Wednesday.
It's a good thing you got your husband. That's good communication right there. Amen. Miss Crystal's going to be 29. We want to give her a gift from church. Just let her know we love and appreciate her. Be praying for her and little Eden, okay? Little Eden's supposed to make a revival. It's a reveal party for Eden in April. And so be praying for her as she finishes these last couple of months. God will keep her and Eden both safe, okay? God bless you. Yeah. Happy birthday. All right. Psalms 34. Psalms 34. Verse number 8. Psalms 34, verse number 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for our time together today. We pray to God that as we would consider your word here this morning, that you would open our hearts and our minds, make us receptive to your word. We pray to God that you just might be honored and glorified through it. Teach us something to help us in our daily living, and that we might live for you in a greater way. We love you, and we ask these things in your wonderful, most precious name. Amen. And so today, our title is quite simply, Taste and See. Taste and See. And we begin verse number 8 there. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. So I was thinking about taste. You know, taste is one of our five senses. We have sight, we have touch, we have smell, and we have hearing, and then we have taste. I'll be quite honest with you, usually taste is like on the lower part of my scale. So if I see something, I got something here to see. If I see something like this, and I want to, I've never seen one of these, and by the way, I've been overseas and I've seen some stuff. It's like, really? I don't know if I want to eat that or not. I never would forget the first time they fed us lemon grass chicken. The thing that turned me off about it was grass. Cows eat grass. Horses eat grass. I've eaten grass. I'm telling you, it was just phenomenal. Lemongrass chicken. If you ever get a chance, the grass actually tastes like lemon. And they mix it with chicken. It's good stuff. I actually have sought it out here and bought it at the store. It's just really good stuff. But if I come across this thing, I don't know what it is. Oh, I know exactly what it is. But I don't know what it is. The first thing I'm going to do is someone says, now, I want you to eat this donut. And I'm like, a donut? Very interesting. Very interesting. I don't know if it's worthy to go, you know, through my lips and down in my gullet. I just don't know. I want to see it. I may touch it. You know, there's nothing like getting a hard donut, you know, break your teeth. That's just not good at all. I don't know that I'd listen to it. Speak to me, donut. Speak to me. I'm chocolate. Eat me. Eat me. But I would look at it. I'd probably touch it. I'd smell it. By the way, this smells really good. And then, at that point, I would chew on it. Okay? I'm not going to do that because it'd probably gum up my mouth. I wouldn't be able to speak and all that kind of stuff. So that's my taste is their part of my senses. It's a part of your sense. And the Bible is telling us to taste and see. So when it tells us to taste and see, what it's telling us to do is to try it, you know, to taste and see if it's good. My other senses have identified it's soft, it's moist, it smells good, it's calling my name. It's calling me out. So then I use my taste to see if those things are accurate. And there's been times I've tasted stuff and thought, I'm not taking another bite unless I'm overseas. And overseas, you just kind of tough it up because you don't want to offend anybody, right? And so you just eat away and be happy. But if I'm on my own, I bought this by myself and or in the presence of my wife or whatever, I tried. If for some reason there was something in it that I didn't like, you know, like fish eyeballs or something like that, I would just stop eating. I'd just leave it right there. I might even politely take a napkin and, you know, get rid of what I'd already put in my mouth. But to taste is to find out, is it really that good? Is it really something that I want to part? And so the Lord is telling us, look, taste and see. Taste and see if I wouldn't be a help to you. Taste and see if I can't make a change in your life. Taste and see what the Lord is all about. And so, as we think about tasting and seeing, we think about the fact that it's a matter of a taste experience. There's no other way of really knowing how good God is outside of tasting and finding out. I can stand here all day and tell you of all the things that God has done for me. I can stand and give testimony of people who have lived through the years and how God has affected their lives. But it's only going to be beneficial if you take part of it yourself and you actually taste it for yourself that you might see how good God really is. And so the idea is that we would taste, that we would see, that we would experience, that we might find out just how good God is. And so one would go through and see the Lord, and they might taste of the Lord. They might ask, we'll just go at it this way. If, you know, before I got saved, I was going through life and I was just living for me. I was going through life and I was just worried about Kevin Metzinger. He was number one.
These were things that he wanted in his life. These things were goals that he had, a part of his life. And it's kind of amazing. Through it all, God allowed many of those things to happen in my life because I think he was using them to tool me and to get me ready to be used of him in a way that I couldn't even see. But there was still this emptiness in my life. I was accomplishing things. I was doing things that I wanted to do. And yet there was this great emptiness. I just felt so unfulfilled. I felt like there had to be more for life. I never will forget going through living life and thinking there's got to be more to life than just living. There's got to be more to it than just that. And I never will forget the night that I got on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to save me. And it was like at that moment, things begin to make sense. You listen, when you begin to believe in God and you begin to believe his word and you begin to study with the Holy Spirit as a part of you, the word of God, you begin to see the whole way that God has laid out life for all mankind and then in particularly your life and his purpose for your life and what he would like you to do. God made perfectly sense once I asked him to become Lord and Savior of my life. But outside of that, life was a mess. I didn't know why, what, when, where, how. What was the purpose of life? Am I just going to live this life and die? Am I just going to go through this life trying to make myself happy and try to accumulate things that would make me happy and then one day die and someone else take it over? What was the purpose of life? And then I met Jesus and all those questions were answered. When I met Jesus, I was tasting of him, and now I've lived my life tasting of him, and I testify to you, taste of him, for he is good. Taste of him, for he's good. Listen, I wouldn't trade my worst day as a Christian for my best day as a lost person. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. The emptiness, the hopelessness that was in my life without Jesus Christ, compared to knowing that God is in control, to knowing that God loves me, that he cares for me, that his son Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that heaven might be my eternal home, I wouldn't trade my worst day as a Christian for my best day as a lost person. Why? Because I've tasted. I've tasted. I've seen. I've experienced God in my life. Now, the sad part is that some people, they begin this taste of the Lord by just, you know, they just barely get saved. In other words, they pray the prayer and they get saved. They know that they're on their way to heaven, but they never seek to grow. To me, when we get saved, it's a beginning process to really becoming the child of God that God wants us to be. But many get saved and they go, yeah, I know that I'm on my way to heaven, but they've never had a desire to then grow, to become more like God, to really taste and see the goodness of God. Listen, there's more to salvation than just knowing I'm not going to go to hell when I die. There's so much more. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful I'm on my way to heaven. I'm thankful that if I died right here, right now, boom, I'd be gone and in heaven just like that. That's exciting. But the real blessing isn't in the fact that I can say I'm saved and on my way to heaven. The real blessing has been all that God has done for me since then. All that he's done for me. I mean, he did things for me that I didn't even know I needed to have done for me, but he did those things for me because he loves me. He cares for me. And he said, look, I don't want you just to be saved and on your way to heaven. I want to give you a blessed life. I want to give you a life where you can seek after me, where you can know me, where you can walk with me, where we can have fellowship one with another. I want to give you these things. I want you to taste and see how good I am. And so I began down this walk of accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. I began down this walk of now that he's my Lord and Savior, I want to live for him who died for me. I want to put him first in my life. I want him to make sense of my life. This is the very truth. I didn't think there was any reason for living. There was no purpose. I met Jesus Christ. He made sense of my life, that there was more to living than just living a life and dying. And the closer I got to him, the more I tasted of him, the more sight, the more vision that I received for my life, the more that I realized that God had a purpose for me, and the better he tasted. And the better he tasted, the more I wanted. Okay? So, I'm sure that we all have a favorite dessert. I'm not going to ask you what yours are. I'm just going to tell you what mine is. Actually, there's like three of them. Chocolate pie with meringue. I'm not talking whipped cream, Cool Whip. I'm talking meringue. About that thick, and you whip it all up, and you lightly, I cannot emphasize, lightly brown the top of the whips. You let it set for about a day or two, and it begins to get these little bubbles of sugar on top. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Mmm. My grandma can make chocolate pie like no one else till I met my wife. And no, not her. Well, I met my wife, but it was her grandma. Must have been in the same recipe box that my grandma was from, because it was the same pie. It was amazing. I like a good key lime pie. Isn't that funny? I go from I like the sweet over here, and I like the tart. I just like it. I really do. And then I like a good strawberry pie. You know, nice, thick strawberries. You can put Cool Whip on top of that one. That'll work okay. But, you know, those three things I really have come to like, to enjoy. And how did I do that? Well, first of all, I had to taste them. I never will forget the first time my grandma made one of them chocolate pies and set it down. I think I was probably 8 or 9 years old. She set it down in front of me, and I tasted it, and it was like, you know, this explosion. The angels sang, and, you know, earth stood still, and all those kind of things. It was just, it was really amazing. You know, as I've sought to walk with God, he's done things in my life that it was like things stopped, like angels sang, like he showed himself to me. I knew he was real at that moment. It just touched in a way and led in a certain way, and something had come about, and it was like, oh, I see him. I know what he's saying. I know what that's about. Sometimes it's been while I've been in my Bible reading. I'm reading along in the Bible. I read something that stirs my soul, and I go, oh, man, that's so good. That's how good God is to me. Sometimes it's been an answer to prayer. I've been fervently seeking God and praying about a situation, and he answered in such a way that I knew that only God could do what God had done. Sometimes it's been in a service we've been singing. And I'd be singing along, and it's through the message of song, God touched my heart. And sometimes it's been through the preaching of the word. And I've sat there and I've heard the message, and the Holy Spirit worked in my heart and says, hey, that's for you. You need that. That is important. You need that in your life. Our God is a great and awesome God. And he says, look, taste and see. To me, see is it's the result of the taste. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about sight per se. I'm talking about the result of the taste. I take a taste. I know, oh, this is good. This is something beneficial. This is something helpful. This is good for me. It's the result of having taken the taste to find out. It's like the qualifier. It says, see, I told you that looked good. I told you that would be worthwhile. And then when you step through and you do it, then it's like, here, this solidifies what you've been looking for. It's the promise of tasting, of seeking him. It's the reward of tasting of the Lord, of seeking to walk with God. He goes on in that verse, and he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. A child of God, our life ought to be such that on a regular basis, We're tasting of the Lord as we walk His way, as we seek to be in His Word, as we seek to pray, as we seek to walk with Him. Regularly, we ought to be able to testify, I know the Lord is good. I've tasted, I've seen, I've met with Him this morning. He talked with me. He fellowshiped with me. He's led in my life. He's answered prayers. He's taken care of situations that no one else could handle. God had done great and mighty things. I know that God is good. I know He's good. How do you know? Because I've tasted of Him. I've seen it myself. I know that He is good. When we think of the fact that God is good, we realize that He's kind. God is kind. Some would say, well, you know, if there's a God, why does tragedy happen? Because we live in a sin-racked world that is controlled by Satan. That's why sin happens and nasty ugliness of life happens. That's why those things happen. God is good. He's the opposite of the one who controls this earth as we know it. God is merciful. And I think of the great mercy of God and His long-suffering, even towards me as a young person, where I could come to the saving knowledge of Him. He is so merciful to us. He is gracious, so gracious to all of us, His people. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. As we think about that, though, I want us to be reminded, because we can taste and we can see and we know God is good, does not exempt us from the trials of this life. Wouldn't it be great to just know, hey, every time a person gets saved, they have no more trouble in their life. No more troubles, no more trials. Everything's great. I'm a Christian. Life is going to be happy and rosy from here on out. But that's not the way it is it? I have many of you here today. You sat here, you've been saved a number of years. And you'd have to say, there's been some difficulties in my life. There's been some hard spots in my life. I've lost a loved one. I don't understand. Why did God allow that to happen? I don't know, but God knows. He's a sovereign God. We need to trust Him. Trials come. Well, you know, it just seems like I never have enough money. There's always too much month at the end of the money. It's a trial. God allows those things to grow us. Maybe it's to teach us to become a better steward of the things that He's given us. But those things happen in our life. We need to learn to trust Him. There's trials that happen to us in the personal realm. There's trials that will happen to us in the financial realm. There's trials that will happen to us in the spiritual realm. Man, I've been trying to walk with God. I've been trying to read my Bible. I've been trying to be faithful to the house of God. And it seems like all I get is this pushback, this trouble, these trials in my life, these difficulties that come over and over and over again. We need to realize that God is sufficient to meet our needs. And that because trials come does not mean that God is not good. Means that He is still God, and hard times will come in our lives. But it should draw us closer to Him and not push us away from Him. You know, this is easy preaching when everything's good in your life. You can sit there and you can hear that and you go, yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, things are good in my life. Difficulty comes, shouldn't push me away from God, should draw me closer to Him. But then you have to live it. Some of you have walked down some pretty dark paths in the years that I've known you. Some pretty hard things. Some pretty difficult things. Where you could have said, thrown up your hands and said, there can't be a God if He allowed that to happen. And yet, rather than you reacting that way, you said, how can I refuse Him who has loved me so much? How can I refuse Him who has been so good and gracious? I've tasted of Him. I've seen. I've witnessed. He's faithful to me. Why would I walk away from Him when I need Him the most? Amen. Yet the sad thing is that Christians do it all the time. things get difficult and hard, and trials come, and things that we don't understand. You know how rich I'd be if I could tell people why everything happened in their life, or, you know, what the reason, the purpose was? I mean, if you could answer that, that's why people turn to those soothsayers, those people who, you know, I'll go back and, you know, we'll bring up someone from the dead so you can get an answer. That's why they get so wealthy. The truth of the matter is, we just learn to say, you know, I just trust God with that. I don't know why, but I'll trust Him with that. I don't know why, but I'm going to trust Him. Why can I trust Him? Because He's been faithful in every area of my life. He's never failed me. Why in the midst of this trial would I push God away? Why in the midst of this trial would I say He's not been good, He's not been faithful? Because the truth is, He is always good and He's always faithful. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all the problems of life, casting all those difficulties that you might encounter, just cast them all upon Him. We need to be mindful of the fact that God is good all the time. He is good all the time. Fourth thing we see here is, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Psalms 84:12 says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Proverbs 16:20 says, He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You may find that tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, you may come through life and you said, you know, I'm just going to push away from God for a little bit. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to live my way and I'm going to do some things my own self. I know that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm going to go over here. I'm going to enjoy some things of this life, and we get away from God. If we're not careful, that can happen. We can quit reading our Bibles. We can find excuses not to go to church. We can find all different things that would cause us to push God away. And before long, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves out here over in the ditch, if you would, living away from God, living away from those things that we know to be good and honest, and living away from the Lord who loved us and saved us. We can find ourselves over here away from Him. But we've got to be mindful of this, that God cares for us. And because He cares for us, He's promised to bless us. He's promised to be the one to meet our needs. In Jeremiah chapter 17, I think of Jeremiah. Every time I think of him, I'm reminded of the fact that he's a weeping prophet. And he's come to pass judgment. He's come to remind Israel, listen, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that cares about you. And here in Jeremiah 17:7, he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope the Lord is. Listen, we can get going along in our Christian life. We end up over in the ditch here, and all of a sudden life seems to be crumbling around us. We don't know where to go. Listen, I would tell you today, get out of the ditch and get back with God. He is our hope. This world offers no hope. I'll guarantee it. It offers no hope. I don't care who the next president is. I don't care who runs for Congress. There's no hope in this world. Amen. Our hope is in the one who created this world. He is the one our hope ought to be in. He is the one we need to trust. Jeremiah says, look, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Verse 8, he says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. He says, that man that'll trust God, that man who'll taste and see, that man who'll seek to walk with God, he'll know that God is good, and he'll be blessed. Well, what do you mean blessed, preacher? Well, look at what Jeremiah said. Talking about the man who is blessed, whose hope is in the Lord. He said he's going to be like a tree. planted by waters. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be a tree, I want to be planted by some water. I want to grow. I want to be nourished. He's liking a man who loves God to be like a tree planted by waters. You know that God desires that you would excel in your Christian walk? God doesn't want you to fail. God doesn't say, hey, I want you to get saved, and I want you to become a big flub up. No, what God says is, I want you to get saved. I want you to taste and see how good I am. I want you to put your hope and your trust in me. I want to pour out blessings upon you. I want to make you like a tree, and I want to plant you by the waters. What a great place to be as a tree. And speaking of the tree, he said that spreadeth out her roots by the river. So Cindy's mom and dad have a farm, and down on the farm they have a creek. Matter of fact, I think a creek is like three times around their property. So three sides of their property has a creek to it. And the creek has always been an interesting place to go. And so we'd be out there, I'd be out hunting or whatever. You always go down towards the creek if you want to get, you know, some rabbits, things like that. And so you go down by the creek. And I don't care, in Kansas, they can have the field planted with winter wheat, and you come to the creek, there's always trees around the creek, you know? You can call it a crick, or you can call it a creek. It's all according to what part of the world you're from, amen? We call it a crick. We're down by the crick, and there's these trees, and they're growing, and a lot of times when you see these trees that are growing, you'll see roots that are just out on the ground. They're just reaching out all around. They're reaching out. They're trying to get deep to get that water. And God said, look, if you'll trust me, if you'll seek me, I'm going to plant you like a spiritual tree, and your roots are going to run deep. Why? Why do we need roots? I'm planted as a tree. Why do I need roots? Because I live in Kansas, and the wind blows. Matter of fact, when we were in Liberal, Kansas for a year on staff at church down there, we decided it was easier to count the days that the wind didn't blow in Kansas than the days that it did blow. And I think it was like 35 days in Liberal, Kansas, that the wind did not blow. I tell you God's honest truth. I'd never been in a dust storm until I was in Liberal, Kansas. I'm standing out one day. The choir's in practicing. Some Miss Met singers inside the church practicing. I'm out with one of my friends, and we're standing out alongside church. I said, what's that kind of dusty look coming our way? He goes, that's a dust storm. I said, no, it's not. He goes, oh, yeah, it is. Just wait. And before long, you couldn't see the houses across the street. He goes, we better step inside. We stepped inside, and it was just this milky dirt, dust. We had made a big mistake that day. It was a nice, warm day. We had left the windows down on our car. So we vacuumed dirt for a long time out of our car, probably sold it with good old Kansas dirt in it when we got rid of it. But why do you need roots? Because the wind and the storms of life are going to come. And when those winds come, you better have deep roots to hold you in place. Amen. All you have to do is drive around after a storm, and you see trees, whole big old awesome-looking trees laying flat on the ground. Amen. And they had just like this many roots to them, about that big. That's not enough roots to hold a big old massive tree. If you're going to grow and you're going to be something for God and you're going to hope to make it through this life and through the storms of life, you need deep roots. You need deep roots in the Lord. You need to taste and see that God is good. You need to know that He loves you. You need to be blessed of Him. You need those roots that grow. Listen, when He talks about our roots, He says, roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and that's because of all the water and the nutrition that tree needs to grow. God is saying, look, I'll give you the nutrition. I'll help you to withstand the heat and the hard times. I'll help you to flourish. I'll help you to be green. I'll help you to be prosperous. and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Even when drought comes, you're not going to have to worry about it because your roots are deep enough to seek the water deep in the dirt. Neither shall cease ye from yielding fruit. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of tree I want to be. I don't want to be a spiritual tree that ends up a used to be or has been. Listen, if you go out and do much door knocking, you go out and you don't even have to do door knocking anymore. You can just walk around and hand out tracts. Yeah. Amazing. Hand out tracts. I handed one out this morning. Lady goes, "You're all dressed up. You going to church?" I said, "Well, actually, I pastor a church." And I hand out a tract. And I just love the picture of our church right there. So this is the church I pastored. Told her a little bit about it. And she began to tell me about her spiritual journey. I said, "Sounds like you need to be in our church. You need to be in a church that believes the Word of God, preaches the Word of God. You know, you just need to be there. Every tree needs to be in a good church. Every tree needs to be developing deep roots." Amen. Listen, I'm not going to develop deep roots by sitting at home Sunday morning watching TV. Not going to develop deep roots by sleeping in on Sunday morning. That's what Saturday's for. Or Monday. Try it work day. You want to sleep in? Sleep in on Monday. How great would that be, right? Don't sleep in on Sunday. Sleep in on Monday. Well, if that's going to hurt your tithe, that probably wouldn't be that great deal. Anyhow. Too many people take God and they put him where he fits. Well, let's see. He doesn't fit in this pocket. He doesn't fit. He'll fit right back here. Yeah. I need God. Where did I put him? Listen, our faith needs to be better than that. Why? Because taste and see that the Lord is good. He's our hope. He's our hope. And we as spiritual trees, he's planted us by spiritual water that we might grow. Why? Because he wants us all to reach out. He wants our roots to go deep. He wants our tree limbs to be broad. He wants the green, growing, spiritual Christian to thrive. He wants you to thrive. We'll just say it this way. God wants you to win. He doesn't want you to survive. He wants you to win. He wants you to go forward. He wants you to grow closer to him. He wants you to see the great and mighty things that God has for you. I'm reminded of a verse I heard a lot as a young person in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. We need to learn to trust God. Trust him. Why? Because I've tasted. I've seen. I know. I'm walking with him. He's my hope. He's my future. He wants me to be a good, solid tree planted by the rivers of water. He wants me to grow. He wants me to flourish. He wants me to win. Well, how do I get through this thing called life then? By trusting in him. Trusting in him. Trust in the Lord, not with part of your heart, not with some of your heart, but trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm looking forward to that day I get to go home. Heaven's home. I'm looking forward to that. I'm glad to know that it's taken care of, that it's sealed, it's a done deal. Listen, if the old preacher, I call myself old, the preacher dies, and someone says, "Well, that's too bad, preacher's dead." I want all you guys on the front row. I mean, anyone ever says that? "Well, it's too bad. The preacher died. He's dead." You just tell him he's not dead. He just started living. He just really started living. Because when I leave this body, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to really live when I get there. Oh, trust in the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness and your love to us. I pray for every child of God in here. I pray it be our desire to walk with you, to know you in a greater way, to serve you with our lives, to put you first, that we might experience the full Christian walk, the full Christian life that you have for us. So thankful to know that we are on the winning side, that when this life is over, that we really begin to live at that point. And God, I just pray that between here and that time that we go home to heaven, we'd be faithful to you. We'd seek you out. We would want to walk with you. We'd want to know you. Lord, that we would drive our spiritual roots deep in spiritual dirt to know you in a greater way, to be able to share the goodness of you with this lost and dying world in which we live. Take this invitation, use it for your glory. We love you, and we ask these things in your wonderful and most blessed name. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Have a moment of invitation. We're going to sing 306. God's spoken to your heart today. Encourage you to come, whatever your need. Brother Foster, you would.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
House today, Brother Aaron has our announcements.
Quickly from your bulletin, wedding shower this Tuesday, February 22nd, that is for Morgan Lee Master, and they are registered at Target and Amazon if you need that info. Patch program next Sunday evening to start at the start of the service. Again, next Sunday, kids are asked to be here at 5:30. To go over their final practice. Missions conference coming up first week in March, first Wednesday through Sunday in March. And on Sunday, March 6th, will be the day that we do our faith promise commitment. So be praying about that. Wedding March 12th at 1:30, Lydia and Eli. And so make sure plan to attend that. Youth rally March 18th, Faith Baptist in Olathe. And then Financial Peace University will begin on March 24th. That's Thursdays at 7 o'clock if you're interested in that. There's a sheet on the back table to sign up for that. Quite a few in the prayer area. Be sure and remember each of those. Again, Brother Hornick, especially Brother Kaler, Brother Morford, and Brother Medlin, as they're all dealing with different medical issues. I do want to say thank you for praying for my dad. He's not listed in here, but I did list him on Facebook, and he went through a procedure on Friday. Everything went well, and so we praise the Lord for that as he recovers. All right, we'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Chuck, would you pray for us?